Can I have you talk a little bit about the books that you've published and read a couple poems?
Sure, Will. I've actually published 8 books. I'll mention all of them. I can remember, and two of them are children's books. So, what I'll do is I'll read two from this Writing Freedom Volume 3 and one from A Love Locked In, because those are the ones that I have here. This is J.S. Russell, the prison poet, coming to you live from the pen. I'll be reading from a couple of my books. This one is from Writing Freedom Volume 3 by J.S. Russell, available on Amazon. It's titled Caution. Always knew there was rules, for real. Always knew that in these streets I could be killed. That's no matter if I was in them or not. Could be because I was on the wrong block. Could be because I came around the wrong clock. I did my best to move cautious. Some niggas talk that never scared shit. Shit. I felt the threat. Anxiety had me feeling nauseous, not knowing what I would do yet. But I knew Elaine wasn't going to experience no losses. They say the natural responses are fight or flight. I had to choose my battles. I ain't ashamed to say that I ducked some shit. Still, I can stand on the fact that I never tattled. I used to be high paranoid, riding around the complex to see if someone was following me. I hated the front of my apartment being glass. A nigga could see my apartment and swaddle me. I got back from the Bahamas expecting a burglary. These young niggas used to ask me for a lick, but that wasn't my shit. I respond, I'm a lick, try me and see what you get. I kept one in the head, there was no coming to my shit. I refused to return living like that. Stress high, break loose and ecstasy, stay high. That's how I dealt with the madness. After a day of moving small packages, buying and selling, wanting to be more than a convicted felon. UPS wouldn't even hire me and help me with my education. Trying to sell cars at 100% commission and entering the recession forced me into a familiar location. I slid back, relapsed. I just remember the swaggy nigga in DC jail talking about riding around with an 8th and a 380, so I figured I had to get it like that. I remember Rex saying that he had 20 stacks at 18. I had to do it like that. The woman that I bought my 300M from said that she needed a 10K cushion. I needed it like that. Unemployment taxes and stimulus packets, Percocet, Oxy, weed, water, crack, got me my stacks. For a minute, I felt like I was up until it all went bad. People I had around had people they had around. I was up, they were down. They wanted to be up and put me down, and that's how it all went down. I've been down for over 10 years now, a decade analyzing and correcting my mistakes, sufficient time to retrace my steps and contemplate everything I hate, time enough to practice habits that have put me in another place. I always knew there was wolves. Now I'm going to stay my ass out of the woods. I'm prepared for the rain of passions where it's all good. No more anxiety, stress, and fear. I wonder if it was meant for me to be here, while others like me are out there being gunned down by the wolves. Now that poem right there was pretty much describing the environment and the circumstances in which I was in before coming here. Like now where it's kind of a recession, gas high and everything like that. That's how it was around 2009, 2010 before, you know, this crime. And so you can somewhat imagine by the things that I described, the level of stress, anxiety, you know, how my nerves were being in the business that I was in. So some might understand how that could lead to a pretty much a high alert type of awareness, some of the moves and stuff like that. Not to ever justify what I did, but, you know, it's definitely a high intense stress level and, you know, something in which you always have to watch out for the guys that surround you and everything. I mean, it's tough. You know, black man always feeling like he in fear, police, robbers, you know, guys that's around. You never know where they stand sometimes when you're in that lifestyle. So that's one thing. This next poem that I'll be reading is called 13 Years from Out of Love Locked In, also available on Amazon. I'd like to switch it up a little bit. 13 Years. That first paragraph of your letter, the last letter, invoke so much feeling, emotion, memory, regret, time traveling, remembering scary shit. I slept on it literally, under my pillow, figuratively, because it was a lie. Back then, I wasn't ready. I had not enough experience, understanding, foresight. It's tough now how things have your mind fixed, have you in your own way. Frankie and some of the older guys used to go with girls, and I believe it was unfair and I couldn't compete. Some had been my girlfriend. I vowed that I wouldn't do it like that. Ironically, most of my sexual experience was young people. I didn't go with them. Well, not then. You remember that time at your locker? I remember all that I put in that locker. So thankful nothing came of that. You so much. Been so much. Word is our sister, friend, lover, mother. I nursed from you, figuratively and literally. Passing me knowledge, showing me something different, despite my reluctance. I remember Miss Bellamy's back room. A little uncomfortable from the response to potentially you, aggressive young lady. Words enough to make me blush. That wasn't cool. Not knowing enough what to do. Not ready, unprepared. Didn't know how to set that up. Yeah. Time travel. Remember, regret. Not understanding or knowing how or what to do with you. On an episode of Steve Harvey, he said that men want to be heroes. I say the fuck out of you. Assist financially, however I can be, however you need me. But with respect to current conditions, situations, people. That time came and went. Dangerous, that first paragraph. I had to sleep on it, been sleeping on it, because the feelings it invokes are too much for in here. Nothing to be done. Time traveling, remembering, regret, appreciating. This friend, sister, mother, you. Well, that one was for a friend that I had. Our friendship goes way back to high school, you know. Throughout, like, the earlier part of my bit was definitely helpful, even helpful with doing a couple of my books. That one, Love Locked In, and Writing Freedom in the Pen Volume 2 helped me out with Facebook and the website until some of those stuff just couldn't be managed any longer because of life, family, other things. Like, I've been in here for almost 12 years now, so life goes on for everybody else. You know, so is the situation with their family and stuff, but I still always remember and appreciate those that had done for me, and especially that friend that I had right there. Shout out to Katina Hawkins, Cat Coles, for helping me with all that. Alright, thank you. And this next one, I'll get this out of Writing Freedom Volume 3 by J.S. Russell. It's called Freebie. These chains, routines, mood swings, because this ain't right, but this is my life. Midnight, cold, cloudy, and dreary, walking amongst the tombs, penitentiary, cemetery. What's the difference? Where's the sun? Raise me from this condition. I'm sitting, wishing, on the star, on the law. I pray to God, my Lord. This captivity, my bondage, captives to my bondage, free me from this carnage. Wretched soul, please deliver me. I'm crying inside, some tears I can't hide. I'm so tired, give me rest. It's time that old me has died. I work from the tombs, the catacombs, my residence. My mind dreaming of ways, my pen screaming on page to make my existence evidence. I am, I'm here, I live, who cares? Longing for love and connection, I toil for conception, hoping my work gives life, that my wrongs can be made right, and I can see a resurrection. So, that one right there is just based off of how I feel in prison sometimes. We lost away from the world without connection. Everything is limited. Everything is confined. I have a phone list of 10 people. A lot of times I'm only able to reach 8 of those people. I'm only on the phone a certain amount of time. Like, there's no internet access. People don't really write back to return letters. There's a whole, maybe a little bit over 15,000 people on this compound. People that's all the way in this park hall. Roxbury, Maryland, and Washington County. Don't nobody know that we exist here. It's all types of other prisons in this region. Nobody would even know. And that's how it feels sometimes. Like, we have no connection to the world. Like, this here, this tier right here, with this 48 cells, you know, this is the world. And there's 4 other tiers in this building when it's locked down for COVID or locked down for any other reason. You don't even get to see guys. 5 other buildings on the compound. Go years without seeing them, especially after the pandemic. Don't even know who's in. So So if people don't even know who's on the other compound, imagine how it is in the world. And it's just like that, out of sight, out of mind. So that's why I'm writing. This book is called Writing Freedom. Most of my books, it started with Writing Freedom from Within the Pen. Then the next one was Writing Freedom in the Pen, Volume 2, Poems from a Prison Church, Love Locked In, J.S. Russell, the Prison Poet, Live from the Pen. This one, Writing Freedom, Volume 3, everything is Writing Freedom. Then there's the children's books, The Princess, the Dragon, and The Wizard, and The Golden Pumpkin, which my daughter has a co-author credit because she picked those characters. And then there's Malia's Daddy and the Magical Mashed Potatoes and Gravy. And that was my love story, kind of to make a connection for her while she was young. So all this time being in here, my daughter is grown into a young lady. She's a teenager now, and I can't even be present as a father. I do the best that I can, and that's all that I can for me, because it's not going to stop. Like, the fight is going to continue, and I'm definitely resilient. You know, for the guys that I am dealing with, I'm in here with a group of brothers, Behind the Wall Mentors. We're doing a lot of great things. Just had a bike drive out in Baltimore, the Park Heights area. Before that, it was an incarcerated authors event at Urban Reads. Shout out to Tia Hamilton, you know, State versus Us for hosting that, and Merlin Cure. And, you know, just trying to make sure that we're doing the right thing so that the young people don't repeat our mistakes. And also, with everybody that I'm dealing with, great fathers, the brother A.C. Amen, the First Reformed Self, Sean Gardner, you know, with Behind the Wall Mentors and IG Love, brother Jocelyn Walls is with the Behind the Wall Mentors as well. You know, and we just want to keep on fighting until we free so we can change the dynamic and the narrative with these young men, young women that came from situations like we had. So I'll be writing Freedom. Anybody want to contact me, I'm in Roxbury, 18701 Roxbury Road, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21746. Jamal Russell. Mr. Dodge?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. I was going to ask you if you had any other questions or anything else. I didn't know how you wanted that to go.
Well, I did want to ask you, do you have any poetry written specifically about the hardships of being in prison, being away from your family?
I have this one called 2020 Vision, let me look at the table of contents of this book right here, because I'm constantly writing stuff, and I know I have some stuff that's not exactly here right now. So let me see if I can find 2020 Vision. Alright, so you still recording?
Yeah, I'm still recording.
Alright, so let me read 2020 Vision for you in a second, and maybe that could be something that help you with that. Alright, 2020 Vision. This was written January 6, 2020, when I visualized. 2020 Vision. 2020 is perfect vision, so I'm visualizing things the way that I want them to be. DPS, CS. That's prohibited us from taking pictures, so it's up to me. I see myself free, able to be with my daughter in her early teens, helping her with her first job, teaching her to drive a car, helping her be legit with working driver's permit, seeing all that I want to exist, and having the freedom to take the pics. I envision seeing her away from prom, threatening some young man like Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. Ain't gonna be no fucking. Letting them know that her father used to be a bad boy, making her blush and embarrassed, but simultaneously sparking laughter and joy. My perfect vision has to make me see, because I'm no longer able to have pictures when visited by family. My perfect vision is when I'm happy, healthy, rich, and free, where I'm no longer deprived in a correctional facility. My perfect vision has to be crystallized so I can realize God's love and His power would be my perfect vision of 2020. I mean, I have endless poems. You know, as I said, it's 8 books. I'm still working on getting some out of them in here because, you know, without the adequate help, there has been people that I had and responsible for dealing with my accounts, and I have to have better control over that because I can't even get the books now. So it's a challenge.
Have you thought about, you know, narrating each book?
I would love to do that. It's just getting the cooperation and being able to do that, you know. I definitely have thought about it. You know, it's just, you know, getting somebody to work with. And, you know, I think that, you know, things are kind of picking up a momentum where I'm kind of getting people to help, but it's difficult, you know. Yeah, so you have to think, and the fact of the matter is, like, I'm relying on state pay. Sure, I have family, but, you know, they have lives and responsibilities, so, you know, I don't want to ask, honestly, you know, for anything, because there's been times early on in my bit where I really needed and I asked for certain things, and it's just like, it doesn't get done. So I've learned what people to deal with, what people not to, what people, you know, what are good for this and what's good for that. You know, because it's very frustrating. You know, there was a time I didn't have to worry about money or doing things. I could do it myself. But here's another thing to consider. In this state system, right, the state pay for the majority of the compound is around $20 or $30 a month. But the prices for the stuff that's needed is not cheaper. Like, for a bag of all pods that people need for their laundry, that's $8. So if a person has to wait a month to get that amount of money, and then just to get to detergent to wash your clothes is $8, that's leaving you with about roughly $22 left if you make that much. Now, there's other jobs that are, you know, a little bit more limited that may allow you to make $60 to $70, or the MCE jobs, which also are limited, that you can make up to $100 or something where that, but it's really not a lot. So to get the other things outside of here, as far as hiring people or even the self-published, because I've had a few services where I had to pay. KDP doesn't charge you to do this stuff, but if you want somebody outside of here to do it, then I have to do that, you know. A lot of times, family may not even know how to do that. They're not computer literate or able to take the time or understand what it is to convert things from a PDF file or to download or to upload. So, and it takes time. You know, I have a lot of family, they have children, or like my mother. My mother's 64 years old and she takes care of her 90. Well, my grandmother be 91 years old. So she has to do that work. You know, so taking all these things in consideration, I have to find a way, you know, and knowing that I put myself here, you know, I feel like it's up to me to get myself out, and, you know, there's a lot of things that's going on that, you know, I'm trying to make sure I'm doing that. With me and the brothers, some of them that I mentioned earlier, we had is, I'm pushing this Prison to Prosperity pipeline, where hopefully we get people to start looking at guys that are doing the right thing. Everybody that I mentioned earlier, you know, they're self-published authors. They probably have multiple projects going on to try to help the youth or help wherever they're focused on, whether it be ministry or, you know, mentoring. So people don't know about this. So these are the guys like myself that would be beneficial and helpful to be in the community. These are the guys in which they call change makers, because we've already done it on the compound. It's just right now the compound is closed. Like, I normally would be in Youth Challenge helping the young folks understand things with financial literacy, trying to give them read things, you know, and, but without that, it's kind of tough. You know, I have a they did this, they should suffer. We are. You can't get away from that. Like, you know, the food is terrible. You know, you got to live in a small cell that's really made for only one person. But being a bunk with another man, you know what I'm saying, not actually in a bed, but it's a bunk bed. You know, you're sharing this small space. You know, it's constant noise, all of this stuff. Psychologically, it can break you down. So when they say that people coming from here have PTSD, that's probably real, because we also around here with people with mental disabilities and mental health issues that can't get addressed. They don't have enough staff for this. So you around crazy people. I know for me, I go to psych because I'm got to check in with the guy. I'm like, look, am I crazy? You like, nah, you sane, but this place doesn't make you feel like that. So, you know, that's the push, though. Because, I mean, there's definitely some good men, a few good men in here that it definitely helps save some lives out there and change some things for the better. You know, it's, you know, one, it's one thing, you know, that the First Amendment protects that for us to be able to continue to write. It's the other thing of being a good steward with God has given me. So I have this ability and I'm going to use it to try to better yeah, sorry, somebody was talking about they helped me out with the laundry. That's what's happening here, though. And, you know, just making sure that I'm changing. I have recently read a quote in this brother, Aaron Maven's book. It was called Getting On Quote.
You have 60 seconds remaining.
And he was quoting Malcolm X. He was like, it's not as, and I'm paraphrasing, he was like, it's not so bad to have been a criminal. The real crime is staying a criminal. And like I said, I might have messed that up a little bit, but, you know, I've put in the work for rehabilitation, self-rehabilitation, and the guys that I deal with, that's what I deal with in here. I ain't dealing with the foolishness, and that's what we're going for. We just going to keep on building men and try to help.
You have 30 seconds remaining.
Yeah, so
right.
Thank you for this opportunity.